David messed his life up, didn't he? David found himself in a bad place, worried about his life and Saul and the whole situation there. But as I have processed this message and what I felt like I would be doing here this evening, I wanted to go in two different directions, and I don't know exactly yet which way I'm going in. So y'all just be patient with me for a minute. Maybe I need to start one place and end up at the end, back with David. If you have your Bible, turn with me over to the book of Judges. The book of Judges. I want to vaguely look at another person that started out well and ended up in a bad place. I don't know that I've ever preached these messages the way I preached over the last two services and tonight. I've never preached them together. But yet, last week when I was studying and preparing these messages, these are the individuals that came to my mind. First of all, we looked at Solomon. Of course, that's David's son. This morning, we looked at David. Again, just very vaguely, we looked at the life of David. And David ended up with a very bad situation with Bathsheba. And we'll end up there maybe in a little while. Probably about 10:30 we'll get there maybe. I'm looking at my clock. Maybe before that. Just kidding. It's okay to smile every now and then. So today or tonight we want to look at another individual. And before I call his name, I know that you're going to know his name. And you're probably going to know the rest of the story before I even get to it. But in the book of Judges, chapter number 16, it talks about this man by the name of Samson. And before I even get into that part of it, I may go back and then go back into 16. But if you look in Judges chapter 16, verse 4, excuse me. And the Bible says, and it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and said unto her, entice him and see wherein his great strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him, and we may bind him and afflict him, and we may give thee every one of us 1,100 pieces of silver. Commentary pointed this out that 1,100 pieces of silver was possibly as much as 3 years' wage. There was a bounty on the head of Samson. As you begin to look at this, you can begin to walk through the life of Samson, and when you look at Samson's life, again, Samson, when you look in chapter 13, it gives us a timeline of Samson's life. And again, you can see that where we open this up in verse 13, and the Bible says again that the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. This is verse 1 of chapter 13. And the Bible says, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines for 40 years. That's a whole generation. When I begin to think about this, when I begin to think about what happened right here, I begin to think about the consequences of someone that chooses to do evil over choosing to do right. God raised Samson up as a Nazarite. If you go back, and I did not do that. But it is an outline. I did not go back and look at all the things that God told him that he was not to do. Several things he was not to do, and it's very apparent as you read through this. First of all, he was not to have anything to do with the Philistines. Because of the simple fact, we went over that a couple of weeks ago, because the Philistines, for the most part, were idol worshipers. And they worshiped Moloch or Ashtaroth or a different god that other than God himself. God knows what will happen when we begin to put other things before him. Secondly, he was not to drink alcohol. He wasn't to drink. He wasn't to be a party animal, if you will. You see that in verse number 4. He wasn't to eat anything that was unclean, if you will. And then also, the Bible says that there was not a razor that was to come upon his head. You can see that there. And then the angel of the Lord came and told the woman and her husband that they would deliver a child unto them. When Samson was born, we see that in chapter number 13 at the end of the chapter in verse 24. And when you read verse 24, it's very apparent that the hand of God was upon Samson in a mighty way. Again, let me go back and reiterate this, that what we're talking about tonight is don't lose your edge. In Samson's case and in David's case, don't lose your anointing. But we can see that where she bare him a spare son and called his name Samson. You can see that in verse 24. And the child grew and the Lord blessed him. Look in verse 25. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol. And then we can see that in Timnath, the daughters of the Philistines. And then we see this in the scripture, and I jumped a whole page. Let me back up. I don't like doing that. I jumped a whole page. In verse 14, chapter 14. And he went down in chapter 14, and this is what the scripture says. And Samson went down to Timnath, and he saw a woman. Now, I don't mean to be funny. I don't mean to be facetious, or I don't mean to say anything. But it's amazing how that every one of these guys that got in trouble, every single one of them got in trouble with a woman. You ever notice that? I mean, if you go back and you read about Samson, you can go back and see that he got in trouble and he had a whole bunch of women, princesses and hundreds and hundreds of concubines and all that. And he got in trouble at the end. Then we've seen David. David looked across the way. What does that teach us? It teaches us one simple thing, that every person and every man, every woman, every boy and every girl, as they grow, we've got to learn something from this. Yes, we're all human, and yes, we all have human behavior. But yet God has told us that our human behavior must be subject to the Spirit of the living God. And any time, I begin to think about the enticement. I begin to think about this thing as I've studied through it. I begin to think about, and I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit, but forgive me for just a minute. But I begin to think about how that even in the book of Genesis, you begin to think about Adam and Eve, and you begin to think about how that, yes, Samson was enticed, and how that this all began to happen in his life. But yet in the same way, we look at Adam and Eve in the garden, and we see that where that the Bible says that this serpent was the most subtle beast of the field. And he knew just exactly how to come and tempt Eve and have her fall into his trap. And we see that all the way throughout humanity. But yet we see here again how that this man by the name of Samson wanted the very thing that God told him that he was not to have. And as I thought about that, I thought about in our human nature, and maybe not so much in a room filled with senior adults. You know what I'm saying? But if I was talking to younger people and youth and those that would be more prone to listen to what I would have to say, I would think, I don't know and I don't understand, but it's human nature. In human nature, to have the very thing or to want the very thing that God told us to stay away from. Now, I'm not going to take the time to turn there, but you can go back in Matthew chapter 4 as well as Luke 4. Here's the thing. The devil, the enemy of our soul, tried to do the very thing that Jesus, as Jesus was led into the wilderness after he was hungered for 40 days and 40 nights. Jesus was led into the wilderness. And even Satan himself, the devil himself, came and he tempted the very Son of God. We see that in the Bible. So, my friend, you and I, the way I view it, we will never be without some type or some form of temptation, without some form of testing, without some form of something that'll do its very, very best to draw us away from God. Now, I could go to Matthew and Luke and talk about that with Jesus, but to be honest with you, I hadn't really even studied that for this message. But I do know the Bible says that Jesus, again, repeated over and over to the devil the word of God, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then at the end of that, we can see in the book of Luke, I believe there in Luke, the Bible says, and the devil leaveth him for a season. So we think about that. And so, first of all, we're never going to be able to escape the temptation that comes to the flesh. Not here long ago, I was talking to a young man, and this young man was talking to me, and we were talking about different things and the temptation of drugs and different things. And he told me, he said, I assure you, Pastor, that that's not my problem now. Now, I did not inquire of this young man. I love him, and I wouldn't do that. But here's the thing. That may not be your temptation, but there's another one that'll come your way. You say, well, preacher, do you ever have temptations? Yes, I do. Eating a half a gallon of vanilla ice cream at a time. I knew that'd get your attention. Yes, we all do. We all do. Now, with this, we see that where that Samson, if I say the wrong person here tonight, y'all forgive me. But we look here at Samson again. One of the first things I thought about, that Samson wanted the very thing that God told him to stay away from. If you and I are going to keep our edge, if you and I are going to be spiritually fit, if you and I are going to be all that God wants us to be, along with David, along with Solomon, along with what we've already preached, again, we're preaching this again for spiritual discipline. For the simple fact that God has told you and I, even today, certain things that we must not participate in. Are we okay? And God told Solomon here. He told Samson, excuse me. He told him here. And this beats all I've ever seen. When you read this text, he comes to his dad, he comes to his mother, and he says. Now again, he says this in verse 2. And he says here in the Word of God, he said, and he came and told his father and his mother and said, I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore, get her for me to wife. He told his dad to go down and get her. When I was reading through that, I sort of scratched my head a little bit and I said, my, my, my. And then in verse 3, the Bible says, because, again, Samson knew that it was forbidden that he do that. He knew that it would be a violation of the Nazarite vow for him to do that. And he also knew that Samson's parents were rightly opposed to the marriage between the heathen women of the Philistines, and he was constantly oppress Israel. So again, when you look at this in the theological sense, again, I may not know everything about it, but I was thinking, in his mind, he was thinking, if I can get my mom, if I can get my dad to approve of this, it's certainly going to be okay. Again, if I had a bunch of young people in here this morning or this afternoon, I'd probably be telling the young people today that when your parents tells you no, that they know a little bit more than you know sometimes and all the time, and they've lived and they see, and they're a little bit older, and a little bit with old age comes wisdom most of the time. And if they tell you no, they're not telling you no for your to be mean to you, but they see something in your life, they see something in the path of your life that means nothing but destruction for you. And God, hearing the word, again, Samson was going to his dad, and he was asking his dad to go down and get that Philistine woman for me. Again, we look at this, and again, this is my view of this, and I can preach it my way tonight. But if you see this in verse number 3, then his father and his mother said to him, Is there never a woman among the daughters of the brethren? Is there not one lady, one woman within this group of believers that's among you, but you have to go down there and get something that God has told you that you're not supposed to have? Now that's just lay words. That's just layman's words for what I see in front of me. And then the Bible says, now look at this, and he says this, is there not never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren, or among all the people that thou goest and take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said to his father, I just like to slap him right here. It says, get her for me. I can just see him, an Opie Taylor fit, stomping his feet, looking at his daddy and pitching a fit. And I don't know if that happened. That's my imagination. Stomping and snorting and saying, go get her. I want her. You better be careful what you ask for. Amen? So in this, we can see, again, I don't know about you, but I put something in my Bible that probably is not in your Bible, because I wrote in the margin of my Bible, he's a sport brat. And then we see this because he says, go get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. And again, this is one of those things that I would say to us this evening, you better be careful what you ask for, because what you get may not be what you want. Amen. It may not be what you need when you get it. Now, if you fast forward in this, we can see that where again these events took place, and Samson reminds them here, and he talks about how his father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord. They knew that it wasn't of the Lord, and they sought occasion against the Philistines at times, and how the Philistines had dominion over the children of Israel. Then verse number 5, then went Samson down, and his father and his mother, to Timnath, came to vineyards of Timnath, and behold, a young lion roared against them. Verse 6 says, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he rent him, and he would have rent a kid. And he had nothing in his hand, but he told his father and his mother. He told not his father and his mother what he had done. Verse 7 says, and he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson. Here it is. Verse number 6. Samson on his way. And here when you begin to read this, you can see that again where that the Spirit of God moved upon him. And he rent a kid, and he had nothing in his hand but just the power of God. He was a brute, if you will. He was strong, and he had a lot of strength. But yet, at the same time, again, in my mind, and when I think about Samson, I can think about how that Samson was on this slippery slope. Even though Samson had been warned, even though God had still touched him right here when he took the kid and he rent the kid in two. Now, I don't know this. I don't know this. But in my mind, Brother West, I don't know this, but in my mind, I'm thinking that Samson was thinking that there was no consequences for what he was getting ready to do. It's amazing to me how that we can think that we can get by and keep doing things that we ought not do. How many of you, and don't raise your hand. How many of you, and maybe it don't apply to nobody. You know, maybe sin a little here, maybe sin a little there, and do a little bit of wrong there, and a little bit of wrong there, and never think anything much about it. And then eventually, you know, you think, well, it's okay. I mentioned this morning out of the book of Numbers, because God told Israel to be sure that your sins would find you out. Now, let me say this before I move forward. God knew what Samson needed. And God told Samson that he better not do it, but Samson did it anyway. Samson had to learn this lesson a very hard way. So when we see this about Samson, we can see the history and how that this began to take place, and how that he rose up and he went down. The woman pleased him there, and he began to break the vows of the Nazarite vow, if you will. We can see where that Samson, how that they came up against him. He tied the firebrands between the fox's tails. You can see that in chapter 15. And then we can see this and how that the men of Judah came up again, and how that they began to try to figure out what they could do to break Samson down. I see that in the scripture. Three different occasions we can see that how that Samson began to tell this woman that he so loved and began to tell him all of his heart. The very thing that I thought about when I thought about that is it's very imperative that you and I be very careful in who we tell our heart to. Because we see here again in the scripture of how that they began to talk to Samson here in verse number 6. She began to entice him. She began to woo him. She began to draw him. And all of a sudden, Samson reflected upon everything that he had done. But somewhere along the way, Samson began to lose his edge. As I talked about this morning, I talked about Wednesday, and I mention it again tonight, is that when he began to compromise the very thing that God had told him not to do. Verse 6 says, "And Delilah said to Samson, Tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee." Now, again, I may not be the brightest bulb on the tree, but here's the thing. This is the way I read this. If somebody's going to afflict me, I sure enough ain't going to tell them how to do it. And that's exactly what she said. And you see that in the scripture, in verse number 7, he begins to tell her, and again, he begins to mess with his head, if you will, and he begins to tell her all of this. And Samson said, "If they bind me with seven green vines or whatever you might want to call there that had never been dried, then shall I be weak as any other man in the lords of the Philistines brought up to her seven green withes, if you will, which had never been dried, and she bound him with them." And now the Bible says, "And now there were men lying in wait, abiding with her in the chamber." She was trying to set him up for his downfall, even though he trusted her with everything within him in the very beginning. And the Bible says, "And she said unto him, The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he brake the withes as a thread of tow is broken, which it toucheth with fire. So his strength was not known." And then the Bible says in verse number 10, "Delilah said unto Samson, Behold, thou hast mocked me and told me lies. And now tell me, I pray thee, wherewith thou mightest be bound." The thing I thought about when I read that, I thought about this. If the enemy don't get you one way, are y'all okay? If the enemy don't get you one way, he will sure enough try to get you another way. Number two is, I thought about this, is that the enemy will do whatever he's got to do to try to make you lose your edge. Here's the thing I thought of. He's going to try everything that he can do to absolutely wear you out and to wear you down. Well, your car broke down this week. Well, you got your dog run over. You didn't have no groceries last week. Your furnace broke down. Well, now look, it's what's happening. It's snowing outside. And then you don't have any way of getting anywhere. I mean, all of these things, and that was just an example. All of these things just keep bottling up and bottling up and bottling up. And the enemy comes at us. And all these, I talk to people all the time of how that the enemy's doing everything that he can do just to wear them down. Just they'll lose their edge. So they'll throw their hands up and quit. Just to throw in the towel. Just to give up. Now, that may not be nobody in this room, But I can see this in the story of how that she was just trying to wear him out. Somebody said, well, preacher, I don't see how you do it. I don't see how you stay in a positive mood. Don't ask Sherry. I don't see how you go in and week out and put a smile on your face and stay very positive, etc., so forth and so on. And I have to admit, I do try to live in a very positive manner, because I know what the Bible says. And Brother Hunt, you help me on this. The Bible says if you smite the shepherd, then the sheep will scatter. If I go down, you go down. That's why Aaron and Ur lifted up the hands of Moses, because they were determined to do this together. That was free. That wasn't in my notes nowhere. But my point that I thought about is simply this. Just because I try to live in a manner that glorifies God, it don't mean that the devil don't try me. It don't mean that he don't try to wear me down and to wear me out. Again, I told you the story one time of a man that was, that he and I had some difficulties, and he was doing everything he could, Brother Russell, to take me down. Everything possible. I was in a little old car that I had, and I was between Charlotte and Monroe. I said that, didn't I? And it was pouring down the rain. We'd had a youth day, a youth event for the Western North Carolina, and they used to have golf tournaments, and I don't golf. I just chase balls and aggravate people, and I've not been on a golf course in years and years and years, probably 20 years or close to it. I've done it a few times, but or close to that. But anyway, I was there, and I was in that car with that man. It was pouring down the rain. And he looked at me, Brother Russell, and he said, tell me, Pastor, what is it that really irritates you, aggravates you? What is it that really bothers you? Under my breath, Barney, I thought to myself, people like you. I didn't say it, but I remembered my dad saying something one time that come back to my mind. He said, son, he said, just don't let too many people bother you. Just don't let too many. I looked at this man and I said, hey, I don't let too many things bother me. It's not that I don't care. I've just learned not to answer people like that in my life, you know. I said, I don't let too many things bother me. The enemy will try to wear you down. Is this helping anybody? Anybody been there? You've been there in a mode of temptation. You've been there when the enemy's been bombarding your door and he's been bombarding your life and making you think to yourself, is it really worth continuing on for? Is it really worth continuing? Is it really worth going on for? I could be doing this so much easier. I could be having a whole lot more fun doing this than coming to church on a Sunday night. I could be somewhere doing something else right now. And don't tell me the devil don't put that in your mind. But you know what, my friend? He tries to wear us down. And we see that. And we see here that when Samson was there, when Samson was there, that Delilah, again, we see this. And again, she said to him in verse number 11, says this in a word, and she said, and he said unto her, if they bind me fast with new ropes, I think he was trying to avoid it all, don't you? That they never were occupied, then I shall be weak as another man. Delilah therefore took new ropes and bound him therewith and said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson, and there were liars in wait abiding in the chamber, and he break them from off his arms like a thread. And Delilah said unto Samson, hitherto thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Oh, I could just see this happening. She was persistent and she was persuasive, if you will. And again, when this happened, we can see, tell me wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, now watch this. He said in verse number 13, if thou weavest the seven locks of my head with a web. I could only imagine in my own mind, as I read back through this afternoon, of Samson was there and how that he had his head maybe in her lap, and maybe she had her hands in his hair, and she began to move, and all of a sudden, again, this is Alan preaching this, and this is Alan's mind in this message, of how that she began to massage and how that she began to maneuver and how that she began to manipulate and how that she began to do all the things that she did. He had his head right in the lap of the enemy. It's amazing how we fall prey to the very thing that if we're not very careful will take us out. Hello? You say, well, I'm old and I'm this and I'm that and I'm not even tempted no more with nothing. But maybe I'm talking to somebody tonight and maybe you find yourself maybe being moved upon by the enemy that's doing anything and everything he can to mesmerize you so that you will put your head right in his lap and make it easy for him to take you out. Don't lose your edge. Be alert, be vigilant, be sober. Because your adversary, the devil, goeth about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Marvel not that I say unto thee that even Satan himself can transform himself into an angel of light. Amen. We need to be alert. We need to be aware. We need to be awake in the day and the hour that we're living in and not lay our head in the lap of the enemy that will take us and lead us to destruction. We see this again, and I'm not going to get into the David part. I'm just going to let that go for tonight. Again, when you begin to see this, and he says in the scripture, again, she fastened it with a pin and said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awakened out of the sleep and went away with the pin of the beam and with the web. Verse 15 says this, and she said unto him, how canst thou say I love thee, and thine heart is not with me? And how and hast mocked me these three times? Hast thou not told me wherewith thy great strength lieth? Again, the daily pressure, you can see this in verse number 16. And it said, and it came to pass when she pressed him daily with her words. The Bible teaches you and I to submit ourselves, therefore, unto God, to resist the devil and he will flee. The Bible teaches us to be submitted to God first. Samson ended up finding himself in trouble because she pressed upon him every day. And the Bible said that she urged him so much that his soul was vexed even unto death. Could you imagine? The daily, I think the only word I can think of right here is the daily aggravation of someone that you felt like you loved that was trying to manipulate the love, and they devised a plan against you to simply take you out. That's what Samson was going through. Aren't you glad that God's love is not that way? Aren't you glad that God's love is an everlasting love? Aren't you glad that we've experienced the love of God, and the love of God is a pure love, and God's love is pure, and there is no ill motive with God? How many of you, and don't raise your hand, have ever had someone say they loved you, but they loved you with strings attached to that love? You scratch my back and I'll scratch yours. You do for me, I'll do for you. And it's a manipulative type love, and that's not who God is. God is a God of love, and God's love is pure. In this, we can see that she had a plan the whole time. She didn't love Samson. She done one thing. She was of the gods of the Philistines, and she had one thing to do, and that was to take Samson out because he was a Nazarite. He was of the Nazarite vow, and he was a child of God. And she pressed, and she pressed, and she pressed, and she pressed. Again, the Bible teaches you and I not to grow weary in well-doing. I mentioned it this morning, that you shall reap if you shall reap. Again, that not to grow weary in well-doing, that you shall reap if you faint not. We're not to give up. We're not to throw our hands up. We're not to throw in the towel. Let me hurry through this very, very fast. And then we can see this again. Verse 17, this is what the Bible says. And he told her, look at this three little letters right here. He told her all his heart. Finally, she wore him down, wore him out. Till he finally opened up and he finally said, this is it. Listen, this is the story. This is how it works with me. Are we okay? That's why the Bible teaches you and I to be as wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. The Bible teaches you and I that we are to guard our heart. The Bible teaches us that we are to protect our heart. With all of your diligence, protect your heart. Keep your heart pure before God. Safeguard your heart. Verse 17, he says, he said to her, that there hath not come a razor on my head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I will become weak like any other man. Delilah saw that he had told her all of his heart, and she sent and called the lords of Philistines. Again, the Bible says, and they come at once and hath showed me all of his heart. And the lords of Philistines came up unto her and brought money, paid her off in their hand. Again, she made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man, and she called him to shave off the seven locks of his head. I begin to think about that again, how that she must have been working that thing where he was asleep, and they thought it, he thought it was her, and all of a sudden he didn't realize that he had already been scalped. Let me say it like I feel it. After you've been scalped, sometimes it's too late. He did it. They did it to him. And it says that she began to afflict him. And then the Bible says he played right into the lap of sin. He lost his power. If you and I, again, if we don't do the three things I've already talked about in two other messages, not compromising, I'm not going to go back all through all that, and do the things that we've talked about. The Bible says here in the scripture, verse 20, the Bible says, and the Philistines be upon thee, Samson, and he woke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as other times before, shake myself. Now look at this. This is very important. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. Wow. Wow. Again, if you was preaching this, you could preach it your way. This is how I feel. This is how I think. That a church, not just a person, but a church. If we as a church are not very diligent, as Jody comes, if we as a church are not very diligent, that if the enemy comes and the enemy tries to kill, to steal, and to destroy, you know what? We can lose the power of God in a church and not even know that it's gone. We can get into a routine. We can get into a flux. We can get into just this is the way we do it. And we can lose it all. Samson, when he rose up, he began to flex his muscles. He began to say, look at me, I'm the man, etc. and so forth. And all of a sudden, he realized how weak he was. Without God, friend, we can't make it. Without God, friend, we are just as any other people. But with the Bible said, but with God, all things are possible to him that believes. And our strength is in the Lord. Where our strength comes from. Again, really fast in this life of Samson, the Bible said that they took him. Verse 21, the Bible says, and they took him. They put out his eyes. How many of you know the Bible said, without a vision, the people perish? If the enemy can come and distort and knock out the vision of a church, we perish. They knocked out his eyes. Commentary tells us that they took like hot pokers, if you will, and put his eyes out. Burn his eyes out of the sockets. They killed his vision. But yet we can see in the rest of this, they brought him down to Gaza, and bound him with fetters of brass and did grind in the prison house. They put him on a grinding mill. Verse 22 begins to teach us about what I would like to talk about in the next session, if it's okay. Because it brought him back to the place of remembrance. Brought him back to that place of remembrance. Again, I think about church. I think about you. I think about the places that we've been. We think about how that God has said in his word to seek him first. Jeremiah, again, you don't need to turn there, but Jeremiah 29:13 is my favorite, one of my favorite verses. And it says, seek me and you shall find me when you search for me with all of your heart. The Bible says that his hair began to grow again where he was shaven. Commentary talked about the power of a repentant heart. The power of a repentant heart. Again, now the second part of this, if you want me to preach it, I'll go ahead. It's about another hour. The second part of this talks about repentance. It talks about how that God's grace, God's mercy shows us David in Psalm 51. That's the second part. Because we were going to combine these and look at them and see what God did with this man by the name of David. I mentioned it this morning in conclusion of how that in Psalm 51, it gives us a portrait. It gives us a picture of David coming before God in repentance. I remember John the Baptist crying in the wilderness and he was saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repentance is a changing of heart. It's a changing of mind. Changing of direction. It's a total brand new mindset. As one preacher said one time, it's no longer loving the thing, or it's now hating the things you used to love and loving the things you used to hate. When we look at the rest of the life of Samson here, we can see that where Samson came together and they put him there as he requested between the two beams of the temple of the house. The Bible said there was about 3,000 men and women on the roof of the house. They put him out there and they made sport of him, the Bible says. In his repentance, he went back to God and he says this in verse number 28. I'm so glad for repentance, amen? So glad that God lets us repent. Verse 28, he says, Samson called to the Lord and said, oh Lord God, remember me. Maybe tonight you've allowed the enemy in. Maybe you've allowed the enemy to abuse you. Maybe you've allowed the enemy to destroy you. Maybe you've allowed the enemy to be destructive in your life. The only thing I can tell you is run back to God, no matter what you've done, and say, God, remember me. Remember the thief on the cross that was dying with Jesus. One thief looked at Jesus and said, you're in the same shape we're in, and look at you. You ain't no different than we are. The other one looked at him and said, remember me. When you come to your kingdom, Jesus said, this day you shall be with me in paradise. There's power in repentance. And he repented. Repent ye, therefore, and the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. That's in Psalm 3 and 19. Psalm 92 and 10 says that I shall be anointed with fresh oil. You want to start again? You want your life to turn around? I look at the folks in this room and I know the old cliche, I'm preaching to the choir. I understand that. But my friend, you never know what somebody's going through or who listens online. Go back to God. Return to God. Return to Him today. And Samson's prayer was simply to vindicate Him. Vindicate me, Lord. Show me favor, God. And he put his arms on the pillars. And the power of God came back upon him and he pushed the pillars down. He became, as commentary said, he became a martyr for the cause. I don't know why Samson went through everything he went through, but the Bible did say that he destroyed more of the Philistines in his end than he did at any other time in his life. Sometimes we go through things and we don't know why, but just trust God in it. That all things work together for good to them that love God and those that are called according to His purpose. I said this many times. Nobody likes the valley. Nobody likes the wilderness. But I've learned this. You can't fight your wilderness, because Moses was in the wilderness for 40 years, I believe it was, and David was called out of the wilderness. Jesus was driven into the wilderness. So it's in that wilderness journey that God teaches us. Amen. I want you to stand with me tonight. I hope that these messages today has encouraged someone. And I pray that as I vaguely went over these in a quick setting, that you would take your Bible and you would read more about what God is doing. We learn from the Old Testament so many lessons if we just take them. So, Father, we come tonight, God, in the name of Jesus, to thank you for the lessons that we have learned. And I thank you, God, that even in moments like this, that we can learn of you. Father, I just thank you, God, for your blessings upon us. We pray, Father God, that however this message went forth tonight and however it helped different people and whatever was said, that God, that it'll encourage us not to lose our edge. It would encourage us this evening, God, to be vigilant, to be alert, to be aware. Because I do know that our adversary, the devil, he is going about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. But Father, we're covered by the blood of Jesus. And we declare the blood of Jesus over this church and over this congregation. And God, I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you. I hope you have a great week, a good week. I hope that something is said tonight that'll encourage you. And we'll see you the next time.